Welcome to the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast. This is episode 164. Can you believe it? In this episode, we are discussing what our previous New Year's resolutions were for the year just gone, 2023. Happy New Year, everyone. We're back. Yada, yada. And we're also in our now a annual tradition, might I say, be setting and talking about some resolutions, goals, ambitions for our jiu-jitsu journey and beyond for 2024.
Yes, hello, Kieran. That is correct. We did this same episode last year. However, we did it with zero intention to do this episode. Last year, our first episode back after the holidays, we went into it. I mean, obviously, it was titled. If you go back and find it, it'll be titled something like New Year's Resolutions, whatever. But our intro was like, all right, guys, we're talking about, you know, this position and that and that. And then we just started rambling. And before you knew it, in classic fashion, we were like, okay, well, that idea is canned. We're now talking about this. And it was funny because in that episode, we were like, yeah, what were our goals for the last year? Oh, we mentioned it. We should have gone back and listened to that. And we didn't. However, in a not so beyond jiu-jitsu podcast fashion, we are prepared.
We are prepared.
We have taken a look back at some of the goals and from the previous year and thought about our goals for this year. But before we do that, I don't want to go over how is your Chrissy, how is your New Year's, because I don't care about your Christmas and New Year's. But but for people who listen to one of the episodes coming up to Christmas, they might recall that Kieran and I were speaking about in Australia having ham and cheese croissants in the like on Christmas Day. And I said it as if it was this weird thing that my family does. And Kim was like, no, man, my family does that. Like, fucking, that's just like so normal in Australia. And I was like, oh, really? I thought it was just like a my family thing. And then I don't know if you took this poll further, like anywhere else. I'm not aware. But in our gym group chat, Kieran posted a little poll that was like, hey guys, like, I just want to know out of curiosity, does anyone else have ham and cheese croissants for breakfast on Christmas Day? And it was like unanimously no, except for me and Kieran. I was like, oh, like, so I guess it is just my family and the odd other family that happens to be Kieran. Everyone else was like, what is wrong with you? No one has ham and cheese croissants for breakfast on Christmas. And then
Nicholas and Nicholas's family. Got to throw
Nicholas,
him under the bus.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird because Nicholas is French and like,
that's not weird. It's a croissant, bro.
Yeah, I know. No, but weird is in the sense because like the other French, for some reason, our gym has a lot of French people. I don't know why. But a lot of the French people in the gym will tell you that it's like, man, you can't put ham and cheese on a croissant. That's the most disgusting thing ever. Like, you know, so for Nicholas to be like, yeah, I'm about that.
I think I'd just say croissant, but still I get you.
Yeah, yeah. But to take this one step further, at Christmas this year at my house, my mum was like, we're not doing ham and cheese croissants. We're doing French toast. And I was like, what? I was like, you're just throwing out 20 years of tradition. She's like, yeah, I want to mix it up. I'm like,
Mix it up tomorrow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so I went and bought croissants. And then actually, the French toast was really good. My sister made it. It was fucking, it was crazy good. But
I don't know. Yeah, I still think it's an Aussie thing. I just think it's an Aussie bogan thing. And obviously,
but my family's not bogan.
Okay, well, my family is incredibly bogan, so I don't know, man. I don't know. Maybe it's a small sample. It's a small sample. Nothing, no conclusions can be drawn. There was like 10 people that replied.
Fair call.
Anyway, let's get into the goals for this year. But before we do that, we are going to talk about our, you know, do a bit of an annual review, a reflection, if you will, and talk about what our previous goals were and if we achieve them or not. So how do you want to do this? Do you want me to read yours or you read mine? Or
I think maybe I'll just rattle through mine and self-evaluate how they went.
All right.
So this time last year, so at the end of 2022 in December, I had knee surgery. So then January 2023, you know, obviously one of my goals, or not even a goal, it was just, you know, part of the recovery was, okay, I've got to get back on track. I just had knee surgery. So obviously recovering from that and whatever, you know, was that goal achieved? So, long story short, cause I could talk for ages about, very depressingly talk about my knee for a long time, but long story short, the recovery was really slow and just wasn't going anywhere. But then it kind of settled, but it still wasn't great. And I had another MRI, and almost for a peace of mind, just to say to the surgeon, look, if you look at this and you tell me that, man, this is just your knee now because it's busted up and you're older and whatever, I said, that's fine. At least I'll know that, you know. And that was kind of the case. Maybe I think that MRI was 6-7 months ago. And yeah, and like, so things were going well until, what would it have been? It was like the Tuesday before Christmas. So whatever that was, like the 19th of December or 18th of December, I can't remember exactly what the day was, but it was, yeah, the 6 days or something before Christmas, my knee just exploded out of nowhere. Like the exact same way it did 2 years ago that eventually led to this surgery. So almost a year to the date of the surgery that was supposed to fix this issue, my knee just blew out in the exact same way. It's filled with fluid, like was so, I couldn't walk. It was just, man, it's pretty, it was gross, so horrible. Yeah. And yeah, so, and like, you know, I was like, well, who's going to look at it 6 days before Christmas? I managed to get some fluid drained, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I saw the surgeon today, actually, and he was like, yeah, man, I don't know what's wrong with your knee. It's like all sorts of messed up. Let's do another MRI and then go from there. So the goal was, I would say it was achieved until the 19th of December. But piggybacking off that, I jokingly said one of my goals for 2023 was to make the whole year without having a surgery. Because in 2021, I had like 3 surgeries. 2022, I made it all the way to December and then had the knee surgery. So I kind of jokingly said, oh, it'd be nice to go a year without a surgery, which I did. But we'll see. I might be up for another one soon. So knee recovery was so-so. One of the other goals for last year was that in October of 2022 was when we left Alliance and rebranded the gym Vantage Jiu-Jitsu. So I went into 2023 being like, you know, okay, the new brand is only a few months old. So looking after that brand and the growth of that brand was part of the goals for last year. And I feel like, you know, like anything, you know, you could always think you could have done more or done better, but I'm pretty happy with how it all went. I didn't mention this a lot in the episode, but I kind of alluded to the opening of another gym, which didn't happen, but it wasn't necessarily because of a failed goal. So it came right to the point of there were a few crucial details and everything was good to go. Like, to put it simply, it was kind of like 3 months out. It was like, hey guys, we're doing this, this, this. Yep, everyone's good. Okay. The project progressed, and then when it got to, you know, a week out, or for example, and signing the dotted line, and I'm double checking with everyone, like, are we good? There was a sort of crucial piece that once it got to the end, it's not like they got cold feet and pulled out, like their life turned in a different direction, and that crucial piece kind of made it fall apart, and it just started to, even though I could have maybe patched that, that just started to feel like it just didn't feel right anymore. So that didn't go ahead, but it wasn't, I wouldn't say it was necessarily a failed goal. I don't see it like that. It was just a goal and something that was like on the cards and it was a project, but it just kind of, for no one's fault, it just kind of fell apart. And another one, which was moving house, which was very successful. Me and my family moved to a completely different part of Sydney and reestablished ourselves in a different area where my son will go to school and stuff, which also allowed me to start training some other people up at the gym to teach and whatever. So that was a successful goal. There was one goal that miserably failed, which was I had the goal to lift more weights. This is like, I've had this goal since I was 18. It did not go very well, no. But what I will say, even though that goal failed miserably, I did, prior to the 19th of December and my knee going crazy, probably have the best, most consistent training I've had since I left Brazil. Not necessarily the hardest training, because obviously I'm not in a room twice a day, every day with 20 different world champions from all belt levels like I was living in Brazil. It wasn't the hardest training, but it was the most consistent I'd had for a 3-4 month block. And people who have listened to a bunch of those episodes in the last quarter of the year would have known there were heaps of episodes talking about like nutrition and running and cardio and swimming. And I was just training a lot. And I don't mean overtraining. That has nothing to, that's not why my knee blew out or anything. I wasn't overtraining or anything like that, but I was just training a lot. My cardio was way better. Like I don't think I've said this on the podcast, but like from September until the end of the year, like I lost like 15 kilos in like 3 months, 4 months. And, you know, so it was just like a really good, like quarter to third of the year, which made it even a bit harder to swallow the pill of my knee kind of, because it wasn't, it wasn't only the feeling of, man, this again, like, well, I've got the same problem that a surgery was supposed to fix. It was also, yeah, great, like 6 days before Christmas, I can't walk. Awesome. Who's going to look at it? Like no one, you know, no one's going to, I can't get it fixed now. And then it was also the fact that it was like, yeah, sweet, after I've just had the best few months of training that I've had in almost 5 years or whatever. So it was a bit of a bummer. But as a whole, I feel pretty good about my overall goals, plans, milestones that I had for 2023. I wasn't super invested into lifting weights, so I'm not that upset that that wasn't achieved. But like I said, I did hit some other super, for me, I thought were really impressive, like fitness goals, if you will. But it also just felt good to be back to a weight that I used to be in jiu-jitsu. And, you know, not that I was crazy overweight, but I get away with it a lot because I'm so tall. It's quite easy. It's much easier for me to carry an extra 5-10 kilos and it not kind of like make me look that different, you know? So, but it felt good to be lighter, training more. And, you know, so I feel good about my goals for last year and which were accomplished and which weren't.
If you had to summarize 2023 in a word, a phrase, or a sentence, or a theme, what would it be?
I mean, I don't want to be too negative, but like the unfortunately, even though there were some really good things with the year, like moving was like, don't get me wrong, I added a motherfucker of a commute to my life to get to the gym, which sucks, but I think it was way better for me and my family, right? Like just, you know, I mean, my son is 4.5, and until I moved, I was never at home ever for dinner, you know, like during the week, not one single night. Whereas now I'm home once a week, you know, in the middle of the week. And so that was really good. But unfortunately, personal life aside, because the majority of my life revolves around jiu-jitsu, the overarching theme would have definitely been like maybe, you know, frustration or, you know, what the fuck, you know, like WTF or whatever, because the knee has been really problematic. Like they, even now, like the surgeon, like they don't know what's wrong with it. Mm. Like I've had like 2-3 different surgeons look at it, like 4 GPs, you know, 2 sports specialists, a couple of different physio, like no one, like it's, yeah, but, so it's very frustrating, and that took up a lot of my year was this, what is wrong with my knee and why doesn't anyone know? So unfortunately, hey, that was a lot of the overarching theme, unfortunately. But yeah, as a whole, I feel pretty good about last year.
All right. Well, That's good, I suppose. Very, very depressing story, Adam. But you know,
no, it is. But you know, like I also, it's just as well. Like, it's one thing to have some sort of adversity or something that complicates your ability to do a hobby, but you know. For me, it's not just a hobby. Like, it's obviously something that I'm more passionate about than a hobby because I decided to pursue it as a career. So then it also has the added weight behind it of it being what I do for income. And even though I'm not someone who's like money driven and I'm not into material things like and all that, like it can be the difference between me, you know, getting to, you know, take my wife out to dinner or buy my son the toy that I want to buy him rather than, you know, have to get the shit one that he doesn't really like, but it's the only one I can afford or whatever it is, you know, like, so yeah, it's the added pressure of when you've got something that's limiting your ability to not only do what you enjoy, but then, you know, like have to go to work and not be able to really do it properly. It's very frustrating.
Yeah, that's
completely. So I don't want to be depressing. Like, I mean, I'm pretty hopeful that there can be some resolution this year. However, I do feel that the MRI will be inconclusive because I had one like 6 months ago, and yeah, it's worse than it was 6 months ago. But yeah, the problem is it's not like in the joint; it's all the tissue around my knee, and I just have this feeling I'd almost bet my life on it. That the MRI will come back essentially inconclusive in the sense that it's not going to come back and he's going to go, oh, wow, look at that and that and that. I feel like it's going to come back and he's going to say, man, like, because you can visibly see it if you were here in person. And even the surgeon was like, yeah, man, there's so much tissue around there. Like, what's going on? I just feel he's going to say, okay, it doesn't really show much on the MRI. I'm just going to have to get in there and see with my own eyes. And have an exploratory surgery. I just feel that that's what's happening. But anyway, I always say it's pretty much the only way I get time off, you know, all week, kick back, feed up, play video games. It's not all bad.
Surgeries. So, well, let's, we're going to get
onto yours.
We're going to get onto your 2024 goals in a moment.
Oh, but, we do. Yeah, let's do yours first.
But yeah, I was just going to say that hopefully, no surgeries is not on your list because that's because I'm up to fail.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
All right. Well, okay, so my 2023 goals were, the first goal was updating the podcast artwork. Those that don't know, the podcast artwork still has me as a white belt, and I've tried to stage many coups over the years to to have it updated and fixed, but we've received death threats and acts of violence against us if we do end up changing it. So it's been stopped in its tracks. But yeah, that was a goal. It was unsuccessful, a complete failure. It didn't get changed.
Hey, you could put it on this year's list too.
No, I'm not setting myself up to fail. In that episode, I also officially announced on the podcast that I was moving to the land of Sweden, not to be confused with Switzerland. And yeah, so I did that and that happened. There was also reestablishing, getting into the swing of training. And I think I have a note here that you gave me that goal. So the whole thing was, hey, I'm moving to Sweden, and you were framing it like, okay, use this as an opportunity to teach, to learn. And then we combined that with a goal about learning how to self-study and a combination of education and teaching and coaching and things like that. So that goal, I mean, did I achieve reestablishing my training? Absolutely. I had a really good, training schedule, if you will, and emphasis on the word had. I competed twice in Sweden, which is, you know, awesome that I got there. And yeah, but in terms of coaching, that wasn't really an option here. And that's because of the logistics of the way the instruction is run at the club. It's very different to Sydney. It's based on like a volunteer sort of thing. And it's very different. And I mean, I'm sure there would be opportunity opening up for me to coach long-term if I was to, you know, be living here long-term, but it didn't happen the way I would like. I did get to do a couple of classes though. They asked me to demonstrate some technique and show some things and show some Australian techniques, as they put it. They're all Brazilian, let's be honest. Yeah. Anyway, so I did get to teach, so I suppose tick on that box. Yeah, but you know, that's how that cookie crumbled. And the next goal was to get better at guard. And the note I have here, and I think the phrasing was to be just as dangerous on the bottom as I am on top. My first like couple of years, at least up to midway through blue belt, was focused primarily on being a top player, always fighting for top position. That was my competition game. That's where I had the most success. And, you know, to this day, it's still probably maybe my better position, but I had the goal to, hey, let's take a moment. And you gave me this goal as well. It was like in an inverted way. You said, basically, you pulled me aside and said, hey, you need to get better at, if you want your jiu-jitsu to progress, you need to get better at guard. It's not good enough to be only reliant on top. My guard wasn't totally shit, but it wasn't as good as my top game. And I think I achieved that goal very much so. I feel like my guard is way, way better. So much so that the people, I've mentioned this before, but my training partners here in Sweden, they know me as a guard player. They think I'm a guard player because I always play guard and I'm dangerous in my guard. They want to avoid my guard, which is, it's crazy for me because I'm a top player in my own mind. But I suppose now I feel like I have that complete game now, which is really awesome. And that has been the biggest triumph for me this year in the space of jiu-jitsu, is getting my guard to the point where it's not just leg locks. like I'm not a one trick pony anymore with outside ashi going for a heel hook, which was my only, attack in no-gi. My gi guard is definitely, on par with my no-gi guard now, which is in my own view, like an indication of, hey, you've got that complete game. So now I'm very confident in both. And do I prefer playing guard? Sometimes. So I don't know. It's great. Yeah, that was a huge success.
And who do you have to thank for the improvement of your guard? The Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast for the Troy Bar episode. That's okay. Pretty much...
It's very interesting you mentioned that, which brings me to my next point is...
How I blew my knee out.
It was during the Choi Bar entry that I fucking tore my LCL. So did it improve my guard? Yes. Did it...
little while.
Yeah, for a bit. But it also resulted in a fucking LCL tear.
Obviously, but it's funny that you mentioned the top bottom thing, because I've always, since white belt, people have assumed I'm a guard player and want to avoid my guard just because I'm tall and I've got long legs.
Yeah,
and when I started, it was also a time in jiu-jitsu when white belts could still jump guard, and they're guard wasn't as dynamic as it is today, but it was just kind of seen as you're tall, you got long legs, you play guard and it's horrible. And obviously I'm very competent at playing guard and I enjoy playing guard and whatever, and still to this day a lot of people will think that I prefer playing guard or I am a guard player, but actually I'm way better on top than I am playing guard. I much prefer to pass as a whole than I do to play guard, but yeah, so similar to you, that you've had all these training partners that look at you as a guard player, but actually no, you're top man.
Yeah.
And then did you have any other goals? Was there another one, or that was it? I can't recall.
No, so it was getting back into a routine, learning how to self-study, and a combination of educate and teach, and get better at guard, be as dangerous on bottom as I am on top. So, I mean, I would give myself, did I reestablish my training? Absolutely. Pass. Did I learn self-study, a combination of educate and teach? Sort of. I mean, I was taught the Choi Bar via audio and implemented it. So I give myself credit for that, even though it was probably you. and get better at guard. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely smash that goal, in my opinion. And even before the Choi Bar.
And then if you could summarize your year in a word or a theme, what would it be?
Ouch. yeah, that's a good question. See, I asked you that, put you on the spot, and I even put a little spot for myself to answer, but I didn't. That's a bloody good question. I'd say transition.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah, it's very hard moving, you know, cities, like countries, yeah. You know, super
The reason I say transition is the transition from moving from Australia to Sweden, transition from being a top player to a guard player, and transition in, like, you know, behind the scenes in business. I've made some decisions and you know, have implemented some long-term strategies, made some, no, I wouldn't say life-altering decisions, like it's a big dramatic thing, but yeah, you know, made some, as Jeff Bezos calls them, one-door decisions, where it's like one-way decisions, right? Well, where you walk through the door, it's very difficult to turn around. One-way door decisions, sorry, versus revolving door, where it's easy to revert your decisions. I made a lot of like one-way door decisions this year. So transition in my life, which is fucking awesome. Oh, and I got married, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, that happened too, yeah.
Transition from independence and happiness to trauma.
Jeez, so many transitions.
Yeah, look at me go. Set a theme and it worked. Pull that out of my ass.
All right, well, fuck. I mean, I feel like we both did pretty well last year. I mean, because, you know, some big life things that make your jiu-jitsu goals a bit more difficult as well, that obviously everyone has. But I believe for your, you know, it's good to set jiu-jitsu goals that are a little bit more specific than just, oh, get better. Because obviously just by training, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you can have something a little bit more targeted, obviously we do, like we'll have in our next episode, 165, we do that every 10 episodes, sort of 3-month thing of going over the positions we've been working on. So that already breaks up our, what we're working on from a technique point of view into quarterly chunks, if you will. But yeah, some other sort of bigger, maybe more overarching goals, I think are nice to have. And for lower belts, it can be something like, oh, to get my blue belt or to get my purple belt. You know, there's nothing wrong with making that a goal of yours. You know, it is still a tangible thing that you can acquire and work towards. So, you know, some other goals I think are nice to have rather than just, you know, get better. You know, for some people it might be, oh, my goal this year is to go from training, you know, 2 or 3 times every fortnight to I want to more consistently train 4 or 5 times every fortnight. You know, like I want to add another class in or whatever it is. You know? So let's look at some of this year's goals. So I'm going to jump into my 2024 goals. The first one is very similar to last year's one. I'm just trying to fix this knee.
That's not a goal. That's a mission, bro. That's like a life statement.
I'm pretty close to being like, I don't know, maybe consulting with a shaman or something. I don't know. Like I don't know how much, not that I'm someone who questions modern medicine and things like that, but I'm just like, I'm kind of jokingly saying, I don't know what is left to do, you know,
and align your chakras and everything.
Yeah. So I don't really know. So that's obviously, a goal and one that's actually making it quite really bothering my life at the moment. Like when last week or the week before or whatever, when it first happened, I had to ride my motorbike to my friend's house to park it in his garage. And like, I couldn't really bend my knee very much. And I went round a roundabout and I couldn't have my foot on the foot peg properly. I went round a roundabout and my whole foot just smashed into the ground because my foot wasn't on the foot peg properly because I couldn't bend my knee enough to, well, imagine it was like just the very end of my heel on the foot peg and my toe just pointing, like, you know. So anyway, another, I don't think this is necessarily a goal, but I guess you could put it as a goal, and this would be for both of us because there are some logistics involved. But the podcast going back to being recorded in person, which could be pretty exciting. There's just some logistics to figure out in terms of where that is, where it gets set up and this and that. So, I mean, the podcast continuing, and I think as long as Kieran and I live in the same city, I believe we would always record in person, like just makes more sense, or maybe not, who knows. But you know, so I believe it would happen anyway, but there's you know, there's steps to be taken. There's the logistics involved of setting it up and whatever. So yeah, that's absolutely a goal to make that happen. I wrote here, lift more, lol. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's been on my goals for the past like 15 years. I'll just leave it on there, okay? But probably my main jiu-jitsu related goal, nothing from a technique point of view, because I kind of do that with my, you know, targeted training and my specific training that I do anyway, where I work on different things. But the main goal I have that's jiu-jitsu related for this year is to seek out and find some higher level training partners. I just don't have the luxury to train with a lot of other black belts, you know, because I'm teaching all the time, and my gym is not in an area with a lot of big full-on competitors, so it doesn't draw in a lot of competitors or higher belts. And I know a lot of the other black belts in Sydney, but like any other black belt in Sydney, I'm teaching when they're teaching, and you know, so it's difficult. So even if it's just once a week, once a fortnight, even if it's just, you know, my black belt in Joey or whatever, who's, you know, still a great training partner for me, I just want to more consistently get some higher level roles in. Because sometimes
just
it's
have
not
to ask me, Adam Berry. Come on.
Yeah. So sometimes it's not even about the hard roles, right? You know, sometimes when you know what it's like even at white belt, blue, like if you remember back to a white belt, what was a harder, more challenging role for you? Like rolling with a black belt or rolling with another white belt? Like it's always harder when it's someone your level, even if it's not necessarily more physical. You know, like when I went to Miami last year and I trained with my friend who's a really good black belt, much smaller than me. And even though we had roles where, you know, in little finger quotes, not a lot happened, it's because like every little exchange, the consequences are so much higher, you know, of that one grip failing or that one, you know, whatever foot position being conceded, then it just avalanches and snow. So like you kind of, it's just like a more mentally taxing training sometimes. So that's definitely one of my goals to, you know, sort the knee out, but then jiu-jitsu wise to seek out and more consistently train with some other black belts who are in the area. And then another more personal goal, like there's one other thing that you know, Kieran knows about, but I won't mention, that's a goal that's just not worth, it's not something to be spoken about, you know, at the moment, but it's a goal that will hopefully happen. And obviously if it does, people will know about it. But the main like personal goal that I have is that maybe similar to last year, we'll be moving house again, only because the house we're in now, we're just renting. It's only a 1-year lease. Anyone in Sydney knows how toxic not just the rental market is, but the entire housing market is in Sydney and Australia, really. So I don't believe there's any reason for our lease not to be renewed, but it's also a case of maybe we move like one or two suburbs over or something just to have our son fall into the catchment area of a different school. So maybe we move in the second half of the year for that reason, for family reasons, and you know, because we've got to think about school next year that he'll go to. And so that's a big important decision and goal that I really want to get right on a personal level. But yeah, just to seal it off again, the main thing is sort my knee out and then really find some nice high level roles to get going again. They're really my main goals for this year.
So goal one, fix my knee.
Adam. Yep.
Okay.
No, I don't feel great about it, but yep.
All right. Well, no, I think you got a good spread of goals there. Lots of, you know, some personal stuff, BJJ related, personal development in lifting, back to recording. So podcast progression and fixing your knee. Well, I did something similar. I broke up my goals into different areas. I've got four, but they all fall into one of three categories, if you will. Professional development, like jiu-jitsu professional development, personal slash skill-based development, and consistency and longevity. So goal number one for me is fix my knee.
No, twinsies.
It's not really. It's not really, but I do have a knee related. So just to officially tie the bow on it, like last recording we mentioned that, oh yeah, no, I've got my knee results, MRI, blah, blah, blah. I got my results back a couple days ago and it's confirmed a partial LCL tear. So I think it was in Swedish. So my wife was translating it to me, the letter that I got from the surgeon. Roughly translated to, oh, yep, your LCL's hanging on by a thread. So it's still there. I'm like, sweet. you know, I have some inflammation and swelling on some other ligaments around the LCL as well, like behind it. But yeah, whatever. So anyway, that's a ongoing thing, is to get myself back on the mats. But my official goals, the way I try to structure it is I learned this goal setting framework that I'm sure everyone that works in corporate and lots of people know. It's called the SMART goal framework, right? So when you set a goal, it needs to be specific, measurable, attainable, realistic slash relevant, depending on what version you're seeing, but you know, you can just do both. ART is time bound. So that is like the SMART framework. Now, I don't use that specifically, like as in I don't copy paste that framework, but for this, I tried to work it in there. So I had something measurable so I can hold myself accountable for the goals. And these are all jiu-jitsu specific, if you will. So number one is I will begin coaching jiu-jitsu, including classes and privates to beginners, to help people accelerate their jiu-jitsu development and also improve my communication, technical understanding, and ability. And then I just put how it's going to be tracked. So it's measurable. It'll be tracked via my booking software for privates and Clubworks and calendar, my calendar software as well. So basically the overarching thing is I want to, you know, begin teaching. I've taught before jiu-jitsu here and there. I've done privates before and et cetera. And I've taught some classes. I've even done a, could you believe it, an instructor's course on how to,
holy shit,
on how to teach jiu-jitsu. So still waiting for my certificate.
I sent it to your old address here in Australia. Oh, didn't shit. You get it? Nah, shit.
Shit. So for those that don't know, Adam did a instructor's course for jiu-jitsu. Took like a small group of us, about five of us through. It was like a, was it 6 weeks or so?
Yeah, it was like 6 weeks and it was just only 1 hour at a time. Like
with the idea and stuff.
The idea was I'd done a bunch of instructors courses, but like I'd done like four or five of them and each one was, you know, like 3 hours long, but they were just blown out. It was like the first 2 hours was just, you know, telling a bunch of anecdotes, and like there's nothing wrong with anecdotes, but like, okay, I felt like you could take that combined sort of multiple 3 hour, 4 hour sessions into really like 1 5 or 6 hour session. But because of time restrictions, no one had just a chunk of 5 hours available. So I was like, hey guys, let's just do like 1 hour a week before class, like rock up at this time. Yeah. So it was like 6 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really valuable. And you know, when I did teach in Sweden, I got like heaps of compliments from my class structure and how it was delivered and everything like that. And the technique breakdown and, yeah, so it definitely helped out. So that's goal number one. Goal number two is once I've returned from injury, I will be consistent with my training, completing a minimum of 4 classes a week on average, resulting in a minimum of 128 classes in the year. That's like the minimum standard, assuming that I return to training in March. So yeah, and that's jiu-jitsu only. Obviously, all my supplementary training does not count. And this will be tracked via spreadsheet in Clubworks and attendance software. Okay.
Very achievable, I reckon, those goals so far.
Yeah. Easy. I mean, Yeah, it is pretty easy. Realistically, I probably should have bumped the four up to six, but, you know, set the bar low and smash a goal. That's what I say. Okay, and one. Now, this is my jiu-jitsu specific, like my technical goal, because I really like the fact that for 2023, I set the goal like it. You mentioned that we do every 12 weeks or so, every 10 weeks or so, rather. We do our technique breakdown, like, hey, this is the technique I'm working on. This is what I improved, and these are the lessons that I learned. And for the people that don't know, that's every fifth episode. So next episode, 165.
Every tenth.
Every 10, the ending and five. So 165, 75, 80, et cetera. So yes, we do that, but I had heaps of success with setting an overarching theme for the year for my jiu-jitsu development. I think I've gotten to the point where I can, you know, get away with setting themes for an entire 12 months and work at it. And I've set the theme for this year for stand-up. I mentioned that I had my goal like, hey, I want to be as dangerous on the feet in my guard as I am on top. Now I want to be as dangerous on my feet as I am in my guard and on top. That way, the trifecta has been achieved.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. So I was actually working on this prior to my LCL partial tear. I was working on my wrestling and judo, believe it or not. I was actually training with a pretty high-level judoka, a black belt in judo and a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. And he was teaching me a heap of shit. And there was also a big emphasis on judo-esque takedowns at this gym that I'm training at, or was training at prior to the injury. And we also had some really high-level wrestlers in the room. So the stand-up was really actually quite good in the room as an average. So the stand-up I was getting was really good. I felt like I was making a lot of progress. So I want to continue that theme throughout 2024 and get better on the feet, because, you know, it's very easy in jiu-jitsu to neglect it. I know it's only a small part of the game in terms if you look at it holistically, like the majority of jiu-jitsu happens on the floor, but it's still something that I want to be more confident and competent at.
Yep,
and nice. That's going to be hard to track, but whatever. And the final goal is, to the best of my ability, stay injury free. I'm going to achieve this through practicing mat safety, consistent strength and conditioning for injury prevention, and focusing on adequate recovery, nutrition, hydration, warm-up, cool-down, watching for signs of non-functioning, overreaching, etc. And I'm going to try and track this recovery aspect through my WHIP band scores, my heart rate variability, etc. That's it.
And nice. And do you have any unrelated jiu-jitsu goals? Do you have any personal goals?
Oh, fuckload,
I want to tell you assholes.
No, it's not like that. I do every year. I wouldn't think this is that weird, but every year on the 1st of January, and I've done this since 2018, I spend like sometimes like 4 or 5, some years like 6 hours doing an annual review. So I review everything, you know, all the major projects and everything. I have a template on how I do it. And I set, not goals like resolutions, but set the next, you know, or refine my operations plan for the next 12 months, refine my goals for the next 12 months. So I've already gone ahead and done that. None of it included jiu-jitsu related goals. It's all like business related, personal goals and things like that. So this is like my jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu-esque goals. And then I have my personal business and operations plans and, you know, goals on the side. If that makes sense.
Well, I don't know if you've mentioned it on the podcast, but I mean, maybe you have. If you haven't, I'm about to mention it now. But like, have you mentioned that you're moving back?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So,
but officially, I am, yes, moving back.
So, I mean, I guess you have that, the same goal as you did last year, in the sense that obviously reestablishing your training, you know, the only difference compared to before would be that, like, you may be living a bit further away from the gym or whatever, so the logistics of it might change. But obviously, getting back to training in Australia won't be difficult. But I mean, again, it's still a big personal, like, goal, or even if you don't want to label it as a goal, it's a big thing that you have to do.
Yeah,
right. Project, like, and again, like, it's not as, you know. I said this when I moved back from Brazil. Sometimes people just think that, oh, you're moving home, so it's easy. Like, home is in your country. You go, yeah, but like, I'm not moving back home into my parents' place. Like, you know, when I moved back from Brazil, I moved back straight back to Sydney, where I have friends but no family in Sydney. Yeah. Luckily, I had one friend who had a couch for me to sleep on. But then, like, you move back and you got nowhere to live. You got no job. You're trying to find an apartment to rent, but, you know, you can't provide proof of employment. And then even when you get the apartment, you move in and you're like, I don't know, like, how much stuff you put in storage. But, like, in my case, we, you know, you move into the apartment and you're like, great, I have an empty apartment because I don't have... Not only do I not have big items like a fridge and a bed and whatever, but it's like, I don't have a spoon or a knife. Like, I don't have towels to have a shit. Like, not, you know, it's a big deal. It's not just like moving home and your old house was here just in a time capsule waiting for you. So it's a big project. It's a big goal that you and your wife have to do to move back to Australia.
Yeah, that's, you described it pretty fucking accurately. I mean, this
very, kind of like, it's like it's something like out of a movie where you're just sitting there like this just doom is just settling over you as I was describing how difficult it is.
Oh, I know. No, I know how difficult, because, you know, moving to Sweden, it wasn't as, well, I mean, for me, it was different because I've never lived here before, blah, blah, blah. But we moved straight into Julia, my wife's parents' place. So we had that at least. But that carries other challenges. But yeah, when we come back, we're going straight to Sydney. And yes, we don't have any family in Sydney. So yeah, it's gonna be tough. I have a plan. It's gonna be expensive. I'm more stressed about it being fucking expensive. It's expensive to move move countries, bro. If you think it's expensive to travel, it's more expensive to move.
yeah, it's huge.
Pain in the ass, but yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, as a whole, there's some pretty good jiu-jitsu goals. I feel like you should easily obtain them. I did want to make a note, though, if you haven't thought about this already, just in case.
Yeah.
But like, you're a couple of months away from moving back. So with a partial LCL tear, we should assume everything's fine by the time you move back. Hopefully, but I did just mention, if possible, it is probably worth you acquiring the images of the scan to bring back with you. Or if there's a, I don't know if there's a login to a, you know, I don't know how it works over there, if you get a login to the images, because God forbid you come back and let's say late February, March or whatever, it's still problematic. At least then you know, if you're to the point where you're needing to see someone in Australia about it, it would be nice. They would probably request another MRI anyway, but it would be nice to be like, well, here's an MRI I had in December, you know. So yeah, anyway, definitely. I just thought it, just for a peace of mind, it would be worth acquiring those scans if you can.
Yeah, I'm seeing the surgeon this week, I believe at the end of this week. So I'm going to, next week. But regardless, I'm going to ask him on the process and getting access to the scans and everything like that. And I do have a report, but, you know, it's good to have the actual
copy. But the report would be in Swedish, right?
It is, yeah.
People, I mean,
Google Translate, bro. Come on, yeah. What am I paying these dudes for?
Well, you can't dissect the images or the report. You know, at least the images, a specialist over here knows what, you know, can just look at the pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. But, so yeah, I've thought about that, and I'm gonna make sure that I do that as well. But I am a bit concerned, like when I do get back, because it's not that long. It's like 6 weeks away, bro. It's coming up quick when I actually move back. So I don't know if I'm going to be good to go in 6 weeks, to be honest. I don't think I will be.
Yeah, because I've had multiple ligament tears and none that have needed a surgery, but I've never had it described as hanging on by a thread. So even my most severe sort of LCL tears have never been more than like maybe 4 weeks till I could drill, maybe 6 weeks rolling, you know, but like come 8, 10, 12 weeks, like that injury is long gone.
You know? Yeah, so that's super interesting, because it's been over 4 weeks since I've been off from jiu-jitsu, and I'm like, my pain is probably getting worse, I'd say.
Yeah, so you said that the other week. So, I mean, it's... I mean, I guess you'll know more when you speak to the specialist, but, you know, I don't know how it works. Like, over here, it's quite simple, right? You know, like, if it's grade one, grade two, grade three, or whatever, you kind of have an idea of the severity, but I don't know how, you know, like, what does it actually mean, hanging on by a thread? Because if you hear that, because that's a translation, right? If you hear that in English, hanging on by a thread, you think like, well, that's grade three. That's as bad as it gets.
Before a full rupture. It's not, because he said that there's no surgery required. So I don't think it is like that. I think it might be a translation error, or maybe my wife's just translating a little bit more dramatically than it is. Or maybe I'm misremembering. It could be many different factors here. I'm probably making shit up, to be honest. But
it's a bit concerning.
It sounds like a grade two.
Yeah, like when if I think of it as a grade two and that 4 weeks on your pain's worse, I kind of go like
it's been 8 weeks. I just looked at my calendar. It's been 8 weeks. This week is week number eight. And I wouldn't say that it's like necessarily worse, but it's like I still have isolated pain on the lateral side of my knee.
Maybe I'm also kind of misremembering. Maybe I've gone 12 weeks post tear with that. Yeah, you know, I can't recall, but.
Anyway, I mean, I got my MRI like fucking 4 weeks after it happened. So, you know, the tear has been shown 4 weeks after, and then 4 weeks from when I got the MRI, it was about 4 weeks ago, roughly from now. So, you know, and I mean, I haven't been doing a dedicated like rehab program as such. I've just been running myself through my own sort of thing and strengthening my glutes and, you know, doing all that sort of stuff, and lifting. I have been lifting on it as well. So probably shouldn't be lifting as heavy, but you know,
are you using the power of healing crystals?
No.
Bro,
yeah, maybe I need to see your shaman and get my shit back in order.
Yeah, that's right. There's so where I went for Christmas, like where my family's from, there's a really famous, from a tourist point of view, this place called the Crystal Castle, and it's pretty much what you can imagine. Anyway, someone was like, do you want to go to Crystal Castle? I was like, no, definitely not. Like, and it actually used to be a free thing to do when you were a kid. You could go around and run there, but now you pay a fortune just to visit and look at these crystals.
Can't put a price on health.
No, that's right. You can't. But, you know, healthcare systems seem to find a way.
Yeah, 100%. Well, what I think we should do is I think we should set at least one or two goals between us, shared goals for the podcast. What do you say?
All right. Well, I mean, I guess I already, so we can then, the one I mentioned, I guess, is a gimme.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Recording in person.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. So this is on the spot. This is nothing that Kieran and I have spoken about in advance. Look, I'll say this, but I don't think it's going to happen because this is something that I like the idea of, but I know it's not going to happen because we canned this even when we were still in the same country with the same time zone and everything. I like the idea of us releasing two episodes a week.
Don't tease everyone.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen. If for anyone who's listened to heaps of our episodes, one of the reasons we stopped doing that was because it started to cross a line where it was, we're releasing two episodes just for the sake of release. I mean, don't get me wrong, our episode, like our podcast is terrible. But like it got
even worse.
Yeah, like I mean, it got to the point where we were recording episodes just for the sake of like we've got to release two a week.
Yeah,
but I mean, like anything, you know, you can be Mr. Beast. You'll have like a YouTube video that'll pop off and other ones that don't do as well. So even at one episode a week, or even if we did one episode a month, some episodes would do better than others. But it just got, you know, we could feel that we were really, the quality was just starting to tank pretty hard just for the sake of maintaining that schedule. So that's why we canned it. So I don't think, unless all of a sudden the podcast becomes you know, this massive revenue stream, and we don't have to do anything else other than the podcast. But yeah, you know. So I like the idea of that, but I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Okay.
I wouldn't look. I'll give you this shared goal though.
Okay.
I'm willing to for it to be back on the table, the conversation about the podcast artwork. We can have the conversation this year, all right? We can talk about it.
Okay. All right. So it's not, you're not promising anything. You're just saying that you'll consider it. The arguments will be heard. You know what? We should do like a debate episode where we get like voice clips or a guest that is for it and one that is against it. And like
yeah.
Have our champions.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, we both like, yeah, exactly. It's like in the olden days where, you know, a king would have someone fight for him and whatever. Yeah. It's like you go and find some debate champion. I go and find some debate champion and then they've got to juke it out and the winner is, that'd be great. But that's
fantastic.
we can readdress the podcast artwork. So that's okay. A shared goal. I assume you'd be on board for that.
Yeah, definitely. I have a goal, and this one's a bit boring, but it's a metric based goal. I have a goal for us to get monetized on YouTube.
Oh yeah, so, I had someone, as you started saying that, I was like, oh, I was talking to someone about this today, but yes, remind people the numbers.
Yeah, so we need 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours. Now we have 10,000 watch hours on YouTube, which is a lot, which is awesome, which means that you guys, especially the YouTube listeners, are fucking doing us a solid and we love you. And we love the Spotify listeners too, and the Apple, not so much, but just kidding. But the funny thing is that vast majority, in my experience, of channels get the subscriber count well and truly before they get the hours. That was the truth for my channel. I had the subscribers well before the hours because it's hard to get. But because we have such a huge volume of episodes and, you know, we have a lot of watch time, it's a bit different. Also, don't forget, like for people may not know that the YouTube episodes used to be hosted on my personal YouTube channel. So all of those watch hours and those views and those potential subscribers that we got for the first, I think it was the first year, were obviously aren't on this new channel. So we decided to separate it, and it, you know, worked out for the best because there's 173 videos posted on the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel has like something like 500. I don't even know. Let me just double check, but I'm proving a point here. 477. So imagine if those were combined, you'd never be able to find the episodes, and it'd be a bit confusing, right? So it's good that we separated it, and for the brands to exist independently. But we did miss out on all of those, all that data, yo. So I mean, what would having the podcast be monetized? Well, it means that when you watch our episodes on YouTube, you get hit with an ad anyway, right? Most people do, unless they have an ad blocker. So it just means that we get paid for that ad. And it'll be like, you know, 0.001 cent per view. And I'm not going to put any ads in the middle of the podcast because that would be fucking annoying. So I'm never going to do that. So just rest assured that even if we get monetized, I will not spam ads on YouTube. You will not have any interrupting. Will we make less money? Fuckload less. But, you know, it will be better for the viewing experience.
Wait, oh, fuck. We forgot to do our Raid Shadow Legends bit.
Oh no! still waiting for the fucking check to clear, right?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by. Yeah, that's great. We've never done an ad. We've not once done an ad.
Never.
So support us on Patreon.
But that's a good goal. Yeah, it'd be really nice to get that 1,000 subscriber mark for sure. I think that's a great shared goal. I have another shared goal that I think is, you know, easily obtainable, but I just think it would be something really cool and nice, you know, and I don't know if it would happen this year, but on the list of a shared goal, I would love for us to not only go back to recording in person, but I wish we could have a space that's like, not necessarily like this one space is dedicated to the podcast and nothing else. Like it could be, you know, the corner of a big room in an office or whatever, you know, but
I wonder
where
you've seen that before.
Yeah. But it would be, but it'd be sick to have a space that, you know, the particular camera angle that's looking at the space, like it goes, this is the, you know, this is the podcast studio. And I love the idea of having some sort of logo sign thing on the back, on the wall at the back, that, you know, obviously something super tasteful, you know, like
I'm a bit offended, bro. Are you saying that my kitchen room dining table is not a sufficient dedicated studio space? I'm insulted.
Hey, I was on my toes because of how wobbly those chairs were. So, you know, it kept
we threw the chairs out, all right?
Yeah.
I used to have to like tighten them every fucking week, like with a little Allen key. And the one that, you know, there's one in particular that no matter how much you tighten it, it's not going to fix broken wood. So.
Hey, well, in your defense, though, I was 15 kilos heavier then. So, I
mean, yeah.
The chairs so were the
chair. Your fault the chairs broke.
But, you know, whether that happens this year or not, I love the idea of having a space that like, you know, that you would look at it if you were watching it on YouTube and go like, that's the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast studio.
Hell
and,
yeah.
You know, yeah, some sort of signage that not for any reason other than, you know, having a cool looking plaque or sign or neon thing, like whatever it is, something, you know.
That'd be
I
sick.
Just have this sort of vague vision of it in my head.
Yeah.
Not enough of a vision to think I could go to someone and be like, this is what I want, but I can just vaguely see it, and that would be a cool goal.
Well, once we get on Joe Rogan, then, you know, opportunities
then
will start opening
it's
up.
Deals are made, bro. Deals are made on that show. Really, yeah.
So let's add that as a group goal to appear on Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
That's our goal for 2024. Yeah.
Well, this episode comes out on the 12th of January. I'd say by the end of January, he should be calling.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Sure. Now that we've made it known that we're open to it, you know, we'll start accepting his calls.
An hour into the episode, he'll still be listening. shit.
Oh, I love Joe Rogan. Okay. So, are you ready for something interesting? Do you have one planned?
No.
I'll go first. I thought you might have forgotten because today's episode, there was a lot of things to plan. So,
I have something that I can.
That you want to talk about?
Yeah, sort of. To the point that I was like, off air, I was going to say, we could not talk about this specifically. But anyway, I'll do that after. Okay. You go first.
All right. So if you're new here, something interesting is a random fact, doesn't have to be jiu-jitsu related, that we just pluck out of, you know, the internet or wherever, whatever we're doing, something we're eating. Adam likes to talk about ice cream. But anyway. my something interesting today is that I got this off of TikTok, and sorry to not credit the person where I got it off. I can't remember the user handle. Got this off of a TikTok video, and it's related to setting goals. So a common goal that people have, a resolution that people have, is to read 52 books in a year. And the reason is that there's roughly 52 weeks in a year. People want to read one book per week. So how do you go about making sure that you're reading enough per day to read 52 books in a year? Well, here is a little trick. The amount of pages of a book that you read per day equates to how many books you will read per year. And the way it works is 365 days in a year, and the average book length is slightly shorter than 365 pages. So if you read 10 pages per day, that will equate to approximately 10 pages per year. If you want to read 10 books a year. If you want to read 52 books in a year, you need to read 52 pages per day. On average, right? So that is a nice little trick. So you can measure it in pages if you have a book goal. There you go.
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with what you said, but I feel like there's a way easier way to do that. Couldn't you just, you know, obviously, I mean, 52 books, right? So there's a wide range of books you'd be choosing from. Some books you're going to like, some books you're going to hate, whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, wouldn't you just simply, when you've chosen said book, pick it up and go, there's 240 pages in this book, and then just go 240 divided by 7. I need to read that many pages a day to read this book in a week, onto the next book the next week.
Yeah, I mean, you absolutely can. If you're just trying to get the book done per week, right? But what the argument is that, you know, maybe one book that is 1,000 pages will take you, you know, 2 weeks to read, or 3 weeks even. And then it will average out over a 12-month period, right? Because you might have a book that's 200 pages. If you only ever choose books that have 1,000 pages or more, then you're not going to be able to do it. But it's just a way to set a daily reading goal. Because, you know, if your daily reading goal keeps changing based on your the book that you're reading, it's going to be very difficult to maintain that as a habit. Because if you allow yourself, like, you know that it takes you, say you want to read 26 books in a year. So you read 26 pages every day, no matter what. And it takes you an average of 30 minutes or whatever to read 26 pages. Then if all of a sudden you need to read, you know, 40 pages, it's going to blow out your time and yada, yada.
Gotcha. All right. Well, my something interesting that I just came up with on the spot, which is actually not the one that I just said I would mention. I got a new one now. I've already moved on. a while back, Kieran mentioned something interesting that I'm kind of going to throw back to. So at Christmas, I was talking to my brother. I don't know how we got onto it. Like, I don't know what we're talking about, like, kind of old board games we used to play as kids and whatever. And then he was telling me about some board game I'd never heard of, and it was like a card game or something, and he was struggling to explain. It was difficult for him to explain. He was kind of like, let me just find a video to show you and whatever. And then I was like, oh, my friend Kieran from the podcast and whatever, blah, blah, blah. He was mentioning this one. God, I can't remember what it's called, blah, 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 but he was raving about it. And my brother's like, oh, it's like a really good game called Catan. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And he's like, man, it's awesome. He's like, they've got expansions and shit. And I was like, that's what
they do.
I was like, yeah. And like, his excitement and yours was like the same over this board game that I've never heard of nor played. But,
bro, I need to meet your brother.
Yeah. So maybe you can introduce it to me when you get back.
Well, I have it. I got it for Christmas.
Oh, man.
it's a travel pack. It's a Catan travel pack. It's a mini one. You can play it on the plane. You got like the little dice comes in like a, it's like a little fucking Catan thing. And let me show you the dice if I can find it. The dice is trapped in a little thing. Hang on, I got to show
like
you.
Like a boggle dice.
Yeah,
but boggle like, die or whatever. Well, this my oh, something is, interesting just became like.
It's like in a little thing and you shake it.
Yeah.
So that you cool. can't lose the dice because they're super small.
Well, look at that.
You can play it on a plane. You can play it on a train. You can play it on the bus.
On all modes of transport.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I was trying to like do a green eggs and ham thing, but I kind of fucked it up.
Well, there you go. So, all right. I feel pretty good about my something interesting now because we just got to witness like the equivalent of a kid opening a present and it being a PlayStation, but
no. That was a show and tell.
Yeah.
That was the most exciting Christmas I ever had. The best Christmas present I ever got was a PlayStation 2 when I was like, I don't know, 8 or something.
The best present I ever got was, I don't know if all families do this. I mean, I know all families do ham and cheese croissants, but my parents' house is a bit more rural and they have horses and everything. So I know like leaving milk and cookies for Santa is the normal thing, but my parents have horses that every morning get, you know, or not every morning, get but often get cookies. Given, yeah, often get given carrots. So my parents would like put carrots out on the lawn, you know, and then in the morning they would obviously just give them to the horses, you know. But yeah, so they would put carrots out for the reindeers. And one morning after opening all the presents, my parents were like, and Santa left one more present for you kids outside. And I was like, it's a reindeer. He gave us a reindeer. And I ran outside so excited that it was a reindeer. And obviously wasn't, but it was a trampoline. And then I instantly forgot about the reindeer. And I was like, trampoline.
Oh, man, the trampoline for Christmas. That is like the classic Australian gift. Good. I love it. Man, that's so awesome.
Although I'm doubting yours and mine's understanding of like typical classic Australian shit.
Our fucking experiences are very similar and typical, so I mean shit.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I did have one more, but I mean I probably could save it for next time, but it feels like cheating because it was related to the book thing. But
Then just go. Just okay. go.
All right.
Don't leave the people wanting.
Here is something interesting.
Don't leave them wanting more.
I don't think anyone wants anymore. For those that have listened for a while, you're probably picking up sort of subtle clues that I'm a massive nerd. And, you know, Catan, etc. But I am an avid reader, hence the whole reading something interesting. I found that interesting. And I predominantly read two books at a time. So I read a fiction and a non-fiction. I'll read the non-fiction in the morning and the fiction before bed is like a wind down. But sometimes it lasts like 2 hours. But what I wanted to tell you about is if you like fantasy and or science fiction or a mix of both, then you need to read the Red Rising series. It's a book that I've read recently. I've read all, because there's 6 out at the moment for a 7 book series. I've read all 6 in like 4 weeks, which is, you know, a lot of reading for me. It is literally the best fucking thing I've ever read in my life. I cannot stop talking about it. I won't shut up about it. My wife is sick of hearing about it. But you need to read Red Rising. If you read it and you're not like the biggest fan of the first book, just know that it gets 10x better. And I want to know if anyone's read it, because I want people to talk about Red Rising. It is amazing. And that's it.
Well, I can put you in touch with some people, Kieran. I'll follow on from that I probably read one book a decade. I fucking hate reading. It's not my thing. Fair but enough. I have multiple friends who are massive readers. So one of them is a friend of mine who lives just near where I live now. And I don't know if he still does this, but he used to just for no reason other than he enjoyed it, would read books and whether he had a blog or a website, I'm not sure, and write book reviews. And he would have constantly heaps of books sent to him for free that he would read and write reviews on and stuff. And then another friend of mine who is like reads a lot would often and knows this person in real life, but before they really even knew each other, would go to this person's like reviews as like to get for when he was looking for a new book, he would, you know, look at my friend's thing. And then I have a third friend who is, I don't know if this by default makes you a big time reader, but he's deaf. So he reads a lot and reads incredibly fast and has probably read every single book you've ever read because he's just like an animal. So, and like enjoys a lot of fantasy.
Okay.
So like he's someone who, you know, he's probably
spoken about him before this guy, right? Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, so he's probably read every book that you've ever read, but he's also someone,
and he's more handsome. And
you know, but so I have 3 really close friends who are like,
ask him about Red Rising.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make a note. I'll ask them if they've read Red Rising.
And if they haven't, Pierce Brown, Red Rising. I fucking love Pierce Brown. He's a legend.
I'm going to send him a message right now. And they probably won't get back to me while we're on the air, but
if they do, it would be interesting.
But it would be interesting. Yeah, but I'll ask them before I forget, because otherwise I'll be like, who was it by what?
Yeah, Red Rising by Pierce Brown. Like the first book is, it gets like critiqued as like, you know, so-so. Like some people, you know, like, eh. And then they read the second, they're like, oh my God, Red Rising is the best. Yeah, you got to at least make it through the second book if you're not super sold on the first. But I mean, I was fucking addicted. Once I got to the 50% mark, I shit you not, I read the second half of the book, the second 50% in one sitting. I could not put it down. It took like, you know, 5 hours. I just power read the whole thing. It is that fucking good, man. I love it.
Yeah, well, I've sent them a message. They haven't read it, so I'll let you know. Not the book, I mean the message. So I'll let you know. I'll let you know when they get back to me.
Man, anyway, guys, I'm gonna start a book review podcast so I can get free shit.
Yeah, do it.
No one's sending me free jiu-jitsu. This is bullshit.
All right, guys, I think that's gonna be us for our 2023 roundup and what we have planned for 2024. So episodes are back on track. You know, probably be a small hiatus while Kieran moves back and, you know, the logistics of that. But then we'll be back to recording in person. Can't wait for it. Guys, I hope you enjoyed listening to us last year and this year. If not, I mean, fuck, there's other podcasts you can listen to, I guess. but anyway, guys, thank you very, very much. And next episode, 165, will be our what we've been working on episode. So I know Kieran will be talking about LCL rehab. I'll tell you what I've been working on. But yeah, it should be a good one. Until then, guys, thank you very much.